Welcome to the Hills. Preacher Rick here, delighted to greet our online community and all of you in person in North Richland Hills, Keller, West Fort Worth, and Dallas. I am excited that you're with us. Truth of the matter is, I'm just excited for a lot of good reasons, not the least of which is the next 3 Sundays are going to be some of the best Sundays of the entire year. Of course, next Sunday is Easter. And if a pastor isn't amped up about Easter, he should get a new job. I get to declare the resurrection of Jesus, and it's going to be amazing. I want you to come. I want you to invite friends. Now, if you're at a campus with multiple services, look around. And if your service is pretty full, consider next weekend attending a different service. We have Saturday options for you to think about as well. Bring a friend, pray a lot. It's going to be amazing. And then the Sunday after is Baptism Sunday. And already people are signing up to be baptized. I want to encourage you. In fact, you'll see a QR code right now. You can go to that code to sign up for Baptism Sunday. If you're just thinking about it and haven't committed yet, go ahead and do that. Here's why. Because the week before, you're going to get every morning a devotional, something that you can walk through to help you understand the significance of baptism and the statement you're making about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so that will bless you. So sign up, tell your friends, tell your extended family to come into town, have a big reunion, and we're going to have a great Sunday. And then the third Sunday is the final round of the Masters Golf Tournament, one of the holiest Sundays of the whole year. So we got 3 great Sundays to look forward to, but I'm excited this Sunday because we're wrapping up a series we've called It's Good to Hear Your Voice. You see, our mission is non-negotiable. Jesus gave it to us. The mission of our church, we exist to make and grow followers of Jesus. And here's how we're trying to do that. Together, by being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. The reason we're talking about hearing the voice of our rabbi, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Hearing is essential to following. You don't spend time with someone you never communicate with. So we're wrapping up this series about the possibility that we can live a life of constant communication with God. Or at least that's the ideal. So an elderly, weak voice calls St. Joseph Hospital. The operator picks up the phone. "How can I help you?" "I was wondering if I could find out how a patient of yours is doing." "Of course. Do you know the name?" "Yes, her name is Norma Finley. She's in room 302. And the operator said to the weak older voice, "You just be patient. I'll go check with the nurse's station and I'll get back to you." A couple of minutes later, she says, "I've got good news. Norma's doing well. Her vital signs are strong. Her blood work came back good. In fact, Dr. Cohen is going to release her tomorrow." And the older woman said, "Oh, I am so glad to hear that. I was so worried. God bless you." The officer said, "I was so glad I could help. Is Norma your daughter?" And the voice said, "No, I'm Norma Finley, room 302, and nobody tells me anything around here." It's always encouraging when you get a word you've fervently wanted to receive, which means it's also discouraging when that word you desperately want to hear never seems to come. And that's especially true when the word you're seeking is from the Lord. Have you ever felt like God was giving you the silent treatment? That maybe the Almighty has decided to unfollow you? And that feeling can be especially strong in this season we're in as a church when you're hearing testimonies all over the place in your community group, your gathered group, your ministry team, your rooted group, and people are talking about how they've had these powerful encounters with God and you're wondering why you haven't had any lately. Well, today's sermon is for you. I want to close this series saying something to those of you who feel like you're hearing nothing. And the first thing I want to say is that God does not always have something to say. God does not talk all the time. And maybe two thoughts will encourage you as we begin. One is that if you're wrestling with the silence of God, the very struggle says something good about your faith. You wouldn't struggle with the silence of God if you didn't believe there was a God, or if you didn't think he was a good God. The very fact that you're wrestling says something good about your faith. Maybe it would also be a comfort for you to know that if that's the road you're on, you are on a well-traveled road. A lot of people have been on this road. In fact, this road is so populated that Scripture gives us worship language. It gives us a voice when we're wrestling with the absence of God's voice. What kind of God is this that gives us language in the Scripture to talk to him when we're not hearing from him? Like Psalm 13, verse 1, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" You ever felt like that? And there's another song that's even better known, number 22 in the Hebrew hymnal. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Notice the worshiper's complaint is not that God can't hear him. His complaint is that he can't hear God. And this is the cry of faith of many heroes in the Bible who wrestled with the silence of God, like Job and Joseph and Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And in none of those cases was God disciplining his servants. At no time did he withhold his love, even as he withheld his voice. And so one idea to latch onto as we begin is this, that God's silence does not mean his absence. That when you cannot hear a sound, that does not mean that God is not around. In fact, instead of talking about the silence of God, maybe it would help if we referred to the muted presence of God. That God is near and God is with us. Right now, he's not saying anything. And we're all going to have those seasons. They should be expected, but they should also be inspected. And so what I want to do to close this series is give you five questions that are worth asking when it doesn't seem like God is answering. Now, the first three are in some ways review of what we've already said in this series. And here's the first. Am I even expecting to hear from God? And I shared with you the first half of my life, I did not expect to hear from God. I grew up thinking all God had to say anymore, he had put in the Bible. And even though I had a high view of the Bible, I had a very low expectation that I might encounter the living God when I read the Bible. But the good news is I kept reading. And as I read more and more, I saw the Scriptures reveal a God eager to speak and a God who delights in those that are eager to seek. Now, you probably shouldn't rank Bible verses, but if you did, this one would have to be near the top. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, no one can please God. Now, stop right there. That's heavy. You can't please God, and not just any kind of faith. What kind of faith actually pleases God? Keep reading. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is real and that he rewards those who truly want to find him. The faith that pleases God believes that he exists and believes that he's good. He's a good God. He's a God that responds to those that are wanting to find him. You don't listen to people that you don't think will speak. You don't stay in relationship with someone you think will never respond. So it's been my great joy the last few weeks to hear from some of you who are expecting to hear God for the first time in your life. Understand this is a blessing you can receive, and it's a blessing you can improve. Again, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Some of you have been to the lands of the Middle East, and you can see at night many shepherds will bring their flocks and form one huge herd. And in the morning, that shepherd can speak, and the sheep that in that big herd that are his sheep will get out and leave and follow their shepherd because they've learned his voice. But now a little lamb doesn't know his voice. A little lamb has to learn the voice of the shepherd. And that's where some of you are. You are just beginning to learn to hear God. So keep it up. A pastor's job is not to hear God for you. A pastor's job is to equip you to hear God. So keep doing the things we've talked about in this series. Go back and listen to the lessons again. You can improve your hearing. And it all begins with expecting to hear God. But know that that expectation comes with some other expectations. So before I share the second question, let me just say, I think of all the questions, this is the one that applies to us the most. This is the biggest reason we struggle to hear God. Here's the question. Am I too distracted to listen well? When you're not hearing from God, it could be that the busy signal is on your end. Because listening is not a foregone conclusion. Listening is an intentional decision. So I don't know if this is a true story, but I've heard it so many times, I suspect that it is. You know that the White House is always having state dinners. And the president and his wife will stand and people will file by. Well, during Franklin Roosevelt's tenure, he hated these dinners. A waste of time, he said. No one listens as they come through these lines. And so at one dinner, he decided he would just mumble to everyone who came by, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And people would say, "Great job, Mr. President. We're behind you, Mr. President. Keep it up, Mr. President." Until it got near the end of the line and the ambassador from Bolivia came by. Roosevelt mumbled, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And the ambassador leaned in and said, "Mr. President, I'm sure she had it coming." So listen, if the enemy cannot entice you to be wicked, he will settle for encouraging you to be distracted. Jesus told that great parable about how God is a sower that just extravagantly throws the seed of his word everywhere, but it often does not get received well. He said in Luke 8:14, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures." See, a weed is anything that is choking God's word out of your life. Now, some of you garden, and you know this, it takes no effort to grow a weed. You don't have to try to grow a weed. All it takes is neglect. And so Jesus says, this is how life works. If you're not intentional, life will begin to choke your capacity to receive the word of the Lord. Worries, riches, and pleasures. Now, I'm not surprised he said worries. Living in a constant state of fear will incapacitate your hearing. But he said riches and pleasures. And I had to meditate on that a little bit. And I had this thought. Could it be that our wealth, and let's be honest, we're as affluent as any society who's ever lived. Could it be that our wealth affords us the toys and privileges that create so much ambient noise in our life we cannot hear the word of the Lord? We have the capacity now to make sure that we don't ever have to live with quiet. What the ancients called silence and solitude, we call boredom. And we spend money to make sure we don't ever have to deal with that. Back in the 1980s, they were studying the test scores of this one elementary school in Manhattan, and they couldn't understand why kids on one side of the building were 11 months behind their development from kids on the other side until they realized it was the side of the building where the elevated train was. And their constant exposure to background noise interfered with their capacity to hear. And so when the transit system put in noise abating equipment on the tracks, their scores began immediately to improve. Now, Jesus understood this. If anyone ever lived that could stay connected to God and put up with the constant rush of life, it should have been Jesus, but he didn't. He constantly made time to get out in a quiet place and just be with God. Now, if creating time and space for God was the consistent practice of Jesus, shouldn't it be a priority to those who say they want to be with him and become like him and do what he did? Those that never make room for God should not be surprised if it feels like God is never in the room. And so, if you're not hearing God right now, it might not be because God is silent. It might be because your life is just too loud. Are you too distracted to hear the Lord very often? Question number three. Am I ignoring his word in another area of my life? God does not feel obligated to respond to rebels. We asked the question last time, why should we expect revelation from God when we won't give consecration to God? Do you remember King Saul? He started well, he didn't end well. He became full of pride and fear, and he turned his back on God. Late in his life, he's facing a big battle, and he is afraid. And it says this in 1 Samuel 28. He asked the Lord what he should do, but the Lord refused to answer him, either by dreams or by sacred lots or by the prophets. This is a principle we see in Scripture. God is under no obligation to send dreams or prophetic words or impressions of the Holy Spirit to people who are choosing to live out of line with his will. Another example, Ezekiel 14. Then some of the leaders of Israel visited me, and while they were sitting with me, this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, these leaders have set up idols in their hearts. They've embraced things that will make them fall into sin. Why should I listen to their request? Now, this is speaking straight to some of you right now. So let's be clear. Stop thinking that you can blatantly stiff-arm God in some part of your life and expect his hand of blessing on another. Perhaps some of us are not hearing from God because he's already told us what he wants us to know and do. And until you obey what God has already said, you should not expect him to say more. I'm not saying this is the only reason that God might be silent. I'm saying it could be a reason. And checking our hearing should always begin with examining our hearts. And sometimes that examination reveals that our hearts are more divided than we realized they were. So let me close with two more questions we haven't really talked a lot about yet that might explain God's muted presence. One question is this: am I only wanting to listen for what I want to hear? What if what you want God to say is not the thing you need God to say? Some only want to hear God if he says what they only want to hear. They are selective listeners, wanting only to hear what applies to their agenda rather than God's. Way before my time, there was a successful comedy team, George Burns and Gracie Allen. And she played the character of someone who wasn't very bright, although she was actually a brilliant comic. And in one of the routines, she would explain that she had called a repairman to come and fix their electric clock. And when the repairman arrived, he said, "Ma'am, there's nothing wrong with this clock. You just haven't plugged it in." She said, "Well, I'm trying to save electricity. I only plug it in when I want to know what time it is." So how many of us only tune in to God when we need something from God? Again, Dallas Willard speaks to this with great wisdom. The doleful reality is that very few human beings really do desire to hear what God has to say to them. And this is shown by how rarely we listen for his voice when we're not in trouble or when we're not being faced with a decision that we do not know how to handle. People who understand and warmly desire to hear God's voice will, by contrast, want to hear it when life is uneventful, just as much as they want to hear it when they are facing trouble or big decisions. This is a test that we should all apply to ourselves as we go in search of God's word. Do we seek it only under uncomfortable circumstances? Our answer may reveal that our failure to hear his voice when we want to is due to the fact that we do not in general want to hear it, that we want it only when we think we need it. So we've already seen that it is impossible to please God without faith. And I think we would all agree that God wants to grow our faith, to make it more strong and more pure. So lean in. This is important. Faith can only mature during seasons where I have to decide that I want God even when I'm not getting what I want. Can faith mature when everything in life is going just like you want it and every prayer is answered just like you want it and there's nothing ahead that causes you any concern? Faith can only mature where I'm in a season where I have to make a decision. Do I still want God even if I'm not getting what I want? See, the reason we want to hear God is not to get something from God. It is to get God. Hearing God is not the end. It's the means to the end. The goal is intimacy with God. The goal is a dynamic relationship with God. It's good to hear his voice because he's good no matter what he says. And so, if you're not hearing God, perhaps his silence is his way of loudly beckoning you to stop listening only for what you want and start listening for what he might want. To start praying that prayer I taught you last Sunday, "My God, I want to do what you want." God's a good parent, and no good parent ever gives a child everything they ask for. But he'll often give us more than we thought to ask. It's just that it usually takes time to realize that his answer was the best answer. And so that leads to the last and maybe hardest question. Am I willing to listen for as long as it takes? Last time we saw that James said we should be slow to speak. Understand, sometimes God is slow to speak. And people of faith, like we've talked about, do not interpret his delays as denials. They decide to wait. Habakkuk 2:1, "I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post, and there I will wait to see what the Lord says." Psalm 5:3, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly." God will delay what he has to say, if it is for our good, even though it doesn't feel good in the season of waiting. Why would he do that? One reason might be that he knows you're not able to hear what he has to say at this moment. Jesus said at the Last Supper, I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear it at this time. Is it possible that God has a really strong word he's going to give you in the future, but right now you're not strong enough to hear it? Another reason might be that God will delay if later is better. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, our brother is really sick and close to death, and they did not hear back. Jesus made them wait so long, in fact, that their brother died. But then Jesus arrived and brought him back from that grave. And God received much more glory from the raising than he would have got from an immediate healing. So is it okay with you that God gives you the answer that's going to bring him the most glory, even if that answer requires that you have to wait a while? And sometimes God waits to send a word to us so he can do a work in us. Romans 5 says that patience produces character, and character produces hope. There's no way to develop patience except having to wait for something you want or need. I have my wife's permission to share this story. Some years ago, we were in a long, hard, dark season related to one of our children. You couldn't count the hours or tears we spent seeking the Lord and asking for an answer that didn't seem to be coming. And one day my wife is praying like only a mother can pray for a child. And God gave her a vision. And in that vision, she clearly saw a piece of pottery in a kiln being shaped by the fire. And she knew immediately that God is the potter and she's the vessel. But she boldly asked, Lord, why has this had to be so long? And immediately, the Spirit of God gave her this answer. It's not just the fire that produces the vessel I can use. It's the fire and the time. And my wife didn't want to be a vessel that's just put up on a shelf. She wants to be a vessel the Lord can use. And so she said then, Lord, I will praise you in the oven. And that's exactly where some of you are right now. You're in the oven. And God hasn't given a word about how long you might be there. Now, is it okay to be in a season where you're with somebody that you love and that you know loves you, even if you can't hear them right now? But I want you to remember something. Hearing nothing does not mean nothing is happening. Let me tell you how I know that. Remember that song we alluded to earlier? My God, why have you forsaken me? Does that song sound familiar? We're entering the week where we celebrate the passion of Jesus. And this Friday, hundreds of millions of Christians around the world will worship him for going to a cross and for taking what he wasn't due for us. Do you understand? Our salvation is due to the fact that Jesus held on to the goodness of God when he couldn't hear the voice of God. When all he got from God was silence, he held on to the God that he knew and trusted. And even though he couldn't hear anything, that does not mean that nothing was happening. All of a sudden, was happening. He couldn't hear it. But the veil of the temple was getting torn in two. He couldn't hear it, but earthquakes were taking place and tombs were getting open and dead people were walking around Jerusalem. He couldn't hear it, but as that sky got dark, God's wrath was satisfied, God's mercy was released, and he couldn't hear it, but there were demons trembling because they began to understand the fear of death is getting put to death. Oh, something was happening. So, when you hear nothing, know God is always up to something. Again, Dallas Willard, who lost his own mother when he was young, tells the story of a little boy and his mother died. And sometimes he would come into his dad's bedroom at night and said, "Daddy, I'm scared. Can I sleep with you?" And he would get into the bed with his father, and it was dark, and he couldn't see. And he would say, "Daddy, is your face turned toward me?" And the father would say, "Yes, my face is turned toward you." And the boy could go to sleep. When you cannot hear his voice, trust his face. He is gazing at you with love, and someday God will speak and everyone will hear. He will have the last word, and for us who believe, it will be the best word. So pray with me, please. God, again, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And today we specifically thank you that you don't speak all the time, not if it is best. And so, especially for those right now in the oven, not hearing your voice, help them to trust your face. Help us, God, to hang on to your goodness when it feels like everything else is letting go, just like Jesus did. We pray in his name. Amen.